Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. March 19th, 2023. Welcome to Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram. And as always, it is good to be with you. Now, winter has finally been shown the door. Hopefully this is the last of it, but you know, because of these damn groundhogs, they show up every now and then within the next 6 weeks. So here's to put the foot in ass so these boys end up having a slow death in a slow cooker somewhere. Carrots and potatoes notwithstanding. Anyway, this is the ninth in a series of free broadcasts, and we want to get our 2 cents in about situations involving one Ray Gricar, who we believe was murdered, and who we believe we think we know something about. We've been piecing together clues, and we shall see what we shall see as over Easter we'll start to begin to unravel all this. But in the meantime, listen and enjoy. We'll see you live Wednesday with the holiday special, 9 p.m. Eastern.
WCLM, the soul of Richmond, where Cowboy Reggie and crew do sports talk every Saturday from 11:45 a.m. to 1 p.m. Our brother station WUFO 1080 a.m., the Mix in Buffalo, New York, where Pat Freeman, the Mighty Oba, holds court with the number one sports show in the nation every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Our brother Anthony Johnson, who does this great show, the Anthony Johnson Show, Saturdays on Blog Talk, 6 p.m. Eastern. And our dynamic duo of S.P. Savage and Joey Starbuck, the Savage and Starbuck Show, Wednesday evenings 8 to 9, Central, 10 to 11, Eastern Time. And, of course, our definitive sponsors, Guardian Caps, Leon Hansen and Mike Seeley, and our colleagues and friends at Eagle Rock Winery. Try and buy the great selection of wines that's made available there for you online, www.eaglerockwinery.com. As I say, this, of course, the rest of the chefs are getting their thing together. Up first, riding the range and acting strange, is my man Cowboy Reggie. Cowboy, what's kicking tonight?
Well, once again, we see the craze going on, not only in politics, but in the sports world. And I want to say good evening to the Soul Tree Nation, and to the Gremlins, and also to the the rat that are in the chat room that speak, but we know they're doing the stuff as usual.
For sure.
Now, I say one thing. My thing that really disturbs me is two things. This Muslim thing that's moment that's going on again. Streets are not only that Dr. Van Kahn serves fast as well, but this is the basically what they're trying to do again. They're trying to put the banana cup by. Excuse me. We don't want you to notice what we're doing with the right hand. We've got a young man brings the clock because he's amongst the biggest jacked up. You have a former tennis player who slams the concrete. No apology from the terror. I mean, the police officer that does it. And now we got these idiots up here that come with Planned Parenthood and the former Hewlett Packard drove the company to the ground. That 5,000 employees credit to their videos that they want to stop Planned Parenthood funding, yet they can't put the video. Give me a break. Help a brother out.
Well, we were referencing, of course, Carly Fiorina, who was former head, and as Reggie pointed out, lost all those damn jobs, but got over like a fat rat in a cheese factory, running away with a nice golden parachute to land her ass on. Now, I'm glad you mentioned the Bertha thing, because it's time to wrap this bullshit up. And when I say this, I'm referring to all mainstream media. All you motherfuckers, I don't give a fuck whether you're the left or the right. I don't give a fuck if, I don't care if it's Rachel Maddow or Chris Matthews punk ass or Bill O'Reilly. You've allowed this thing to fester for almost 7 fucking years. And now one time, ironically, except for John McClain, said, look, stop the bullshit. Me and the other cat, we disagree. But he ain't Muslim. The motherfucker drinks beer. He eats bacon. How the fuck could he be a Muslim if he's munching on fucking bacon? But never mind all that. At any time, any politician or any journalist, supposedly, and you got all these supposed wonderful journalists, whether that fucked up Chuck Todd or Andrea Mitchell and a skank ass, all these motherfuckers, I don't give a shit left or right. They're all accountable because somebody could have said a long time ago, look, shut the fuck up with this.
Yep.
You know he's not Muslim. Yep. Do you have proof that he is Muslim? If you don't have proof he's not Muslim or is Muslim, shut the fuck up. Now, of course, word at me, I would probably be escorted out of the scrum for sure. But they're allowing this thing to go on because all the networks are making money off this shit. It's just more masturbation and a fucking clown show. This debate or these supposed primaries are more like a fucking reality show than anything else, Reggie. I mean,
and
what is anybody really getting out of them?
And real quick, I really just wanted Donald to say, she goes on that show on ABC, the Trump show, and she more than anybody to know the dick dash stuff going on, and she keeps her mouth shut. I'm really disappointed in her.
Look, we can take this all the way to the top. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the supposed head of the Democratic Party. At any time, she could have had a press conference and said, the president is Catholic or Christian, whatever the fuck it is, and that would have been it. That would have pulled all the shit off, tightened everything up. Nobody could refute it enough. And they allowed this fuck Donald Trump to sit here and ride with this nonsense. They allowed others. I forget the other one who was actually, and just keep this shit 100. Hillary started this shit because she was the one who brought up his place of origin. Now, she did it because she was upset that this motherfucker was going to win the nomination, and it fucked her plans up. But the bottom line was that shit took off after Hillary implied it.
And my whole thing is, again, Hillary was on a certain national talk show host. And again, go to blackbrackweb.com. I'm not going to mention something about the same person talking about it. So if he ain't got out for the interview, I'm not even going to mention that person's name. But they did ask her about two things that piqued my interest. The thing that don't try to jump in and tell us that you're going to try to find $30 billion for the HBCU when you should have been working the president to get that done there. Because this guy, the straight HBCU, took a terrible hit. It's the same person. Now, again, we know there are some problems with HBCU. But if you don't like what's going on, you need to clean them up. And that's what we kick out of our house. But you claim that she's going to go ahead and make sure that minority businesses are going to get a fair shake, will turn their lives for. Claim she's going to try to do the self grant for HBCU for a house. They're going to try to find $25 to $30 billion. So stop down putting damn bombs. And that's mm-hmm. okay. You could find $25 to $30 billion right there. But my thing is, society, cities, Detroit, New York, whoever, the infrastructure work done, and as we know, the cop blocking that.
You know, it's interesting. From the time this started, and from the time where the president put up his birth certificate for edification, said, look, here it is, enough. Because I'm sure in the beginning, it started out as a mere talking point. But it's just like weeds growing. Weeds can grow through fucking anything. And this had weeds written all over it. And as those weeds kept growing, nobody decided to prune them or put some Roundup up their ass and kill them. They let this shit grow. And from it was a whole subculture, just like with OJ, where they let a story run and it turned into a traffic accident where everybody's rubbernecking. That's exactly what this thing morphed into. Because all of a sudden, you've got these primetime sons of bitches dedicating time specifically to this issue. They knew, everybody else knew, it's all running game. And then McClain comes out because this one young, not so young, white lady is,
he's a Muslim and I'm a kid.
And John was like, yo, stop. Okay, look, him and I disagree on a lot of shit, you know. But he's a good guy. You know, he's a family man, blah, blah, blah. He ain't getting his dick sucked underneath the Oval Office, at least not by Hillary or anybody connected with the Clintons. But he's not a Muslim. And when he did that, it's almost as if everybody was disappointed. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the footage of that, and of course it's on YouTube or wherever else you can find it in cyberspace, it's almost like you can hear people booing in the background, not loudly, but they're like, oh, man, you just fucked up my fun. You know, I wanted to hear that he was a Muslim. I wanted to hear that he was down with jihad and all this other shit. So now we fast forward, and here he is partying with the Pope. And I really got a problem with religion, period. But this man who happens to be Pope, he's a cool Pope. I like the guy.
You know,
I'm like,
you
gotta
get love.
Close friends in that
ass, man. He likes the people up.
Yeah. He's like, look, I ain't eating with you, dick ass.
I think he got no
problem. There's some homeless folks over here. I'm gonna break bread with them. That's part of my duty. I'm gonna do that. And I got the vibe from him that this shit wasn't just for show. You know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, when he came on, some British motherfucker came out as they were there meeting each other, the president and the Pope, talking about that Obama had this watermelon splitting smile on his face.
What?
His face was split like a watermelon. Oh, fuck yeah.
Are you serious?
He's this asshole from Channel 4 in the UK. And,
yeah,
of course, once he got in that, cyberspace got into his ass, and he came out with a fake apology. Oh, I didn't mean to offend anyone. Yeah, I did not know.
No,
and this was a sort of response that such a statement would make. Mm-hmm. I'm like, fuck you, motherfucker. You know exactly what the fuck you were doing.
Yeah,
and
exactly
those people at Channel 4 allowed him to do it because there was no reprimand for what he said. If it wasn't for the fact that people came out on cyberspace on his ass, they'd let him slide. Because I've been around that British racism, and it's that very subtle, nonsensical type shit. I saw some of that in British Columbia when I lived there. But the long and short of it, he knew exactly what he was doing. Now, he never would have said George Bush had a watermelon split and grin on his face. So, moving on from this, we go even further because the idea of all of these side games that's being played out is the manifestation of 7 fucking years of bullshit. And I got Eric Satterwhite here on the mix with me. And he, you know, I think more than anything, the Stephen Colberts and the John Stewarts of the world, you know, they're not being paid to be journalists. They're humorists. You know, they may put out profound shit from time to time that might get us to smile a little bit, but it ain't their job to step to Donald Trump's funky ass and say, "Look, shut the fuck up with this shit." Hey. Now, is he a Muslim or not? Do you have proof? If not, shut the fuck up. And good evening, everybody. Forgive my manners.
Yeah, good evening. I mean, does it really matter, you know, what his religious background is? But no, when you say there's a war and the conflict between,
Muslim,
you know, alleged,
I know they
alleged Christian nation and alleged Islamic nation, you know, that goes all the way back to the Crusades.
Right.
You know, so that's really an old allegorical battle that's been taking place. You know, behind the scenes in so many multiple ways. I mean, you know, when you have individuals who, you know, call themselves Christians, but they're starting like Masonic lodges, but they follow, you know, Islamic customs. You know, so it's like, you know, if you were to use that guideline, and those who are in the congressional or the Senate who consider themselves, you know, Masons or those who follow that type of stuff, I mean, most of their customs are based on the East, right? In Islamic world.
That's
so
right.
Would those people be Muslims if they follow that thing? I mean, they use the crescent and the star. You see how just,
thank you.
The lunacy of the whole thing because of individuals' lack of depth in terms of the research and everything on the service. But you're 100% correct in your analysis of entertainer over journalist. Individuals are more concerned with Facebook likes, you know, Pinterest and all these other different things to get likes and to develop a following. And so they try to develop a persona, you know, by using the technology.
Eric, I'm sorry, can you speak up just a little louder? I'm getting a little gremlin action.
Yeah, can you hear me better now?
That's better, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Let me turn something up. So what happens is, you know, when you have these individuals who are these personalities, as you so mentioned, you know, it's all about, you know, not being politically correct. It's about being, you know, presenting a so-called entertainment model,
right.
You know, under the guise of, you know, true journalism, because it really isn't any journalism. It's just a really gloss over the fact. And
exactly.
Really don't get to any kind of detail because what they do is they just get 5 minutes of subject. And then when they give it a subject, they try to figure they can cover a very sensitive subject in 5 minutes. Then they pat each other in the back and say, "That's why I like working with you, because we really get into it." Then, hey, let's go back to, you know, what's going on down at, you know, the football game, you know? So you're right, you know, and so hard thinking, tough analysis is not given to the mass because, again, it's a fight for people's entertainment dollars because there's so much distraction that these individuals rather be light. You know what I mean? Or be witty and cunning, and they have these other particular parameters because there's such a battle for individuals' attention, and they don't really want to cut that line.
Exactly. You know, I got Travis Singleton in the mix here as well. And
wow,
Travis,
Youngblood. What's up, Youngblood?
You know, it's one thing, Travis, because we know for a fact that we have at least one Muslim representative in our government, and that's Keith Ellison, who I believe is a councilman out of the state of
Minnesota.
Yes. But, you know, it's one thing if there was some ambiguity about it. Once the president came out and said, "Look, I'm a Christian. I've been a practicing Christian for a long time. Don't you remember when you was fucking with me over Reverend Wright? Oh, did you forget that all of a sudden that I am a Christian?" And once that's established, that should have been it. Every news desk everywhere should have said, "Look, kill this. This is it. This is not even a fucking story. This is like Brett Favre trying to make him come back again and feeding it to the fucking mouse so they can nibble on it like the rats they are and have it germinate into something."
Well, you know, I'll just chime in. I mean, again, does it matter? You know, because I think, you know, he's taking the principle. I mean, individuals, you know, want to track his route, right? You know, he was in Indonesia, was he married
right.
to Quella, was other married this person, you know, and this, that, and the other. And, you know, Indonesia is a primary Islamic type country, you know. And so, you know, he mentioned that he would, you know, deal with, you know, Islamic nations as opposed to want to be confrontation with them. So, you know, these individuals take it as a fact, you know, and it's a gate and it's a wide opening. But again, you know, what, I mean, the emphaticism of the person claims this is, you know, belief system, like you mentioned. And what you're saying is really the disrespect, you know, for a person saying, you know, hey, this is what I do, this is what I follow, this is my belief system of my religious preference, and attack that. You know what I mean? That's a hopeless fight. And the ignorance that you're mentioning with these, you know, media, you know, personality types, and the fact that it's all about entertainment, you know what I mean? It's all about, you know, being witty. It's all about having a good tailor and, you know, exceedingly graphic behind you. And it's all the splash effect. It distracts you from the lack of depth of what you're getting. You know, but fortunately, there is common sense and individuals communicate with each other in other facets, fortunately, of things through social media and such, where the media
exactly.
really is utterly pivotal right now.
Hey, but Eric, real quick, just look at the terrorism under Christianity. You know, I go back to the Oklahoma bombing. Now, I hope to challenge anybody out there, when Donald Lewis Farrakhan gives speeches with us, maybe one time that somebody mentioned Islam, and I could have a problem with boys did and some problems also. I mentioned Islam, but hey, I don't understand that. That's a whole other story. But my issue is that when we've seen the Sandyhook, the tragedy there at the elementary school, we see the Oklahoma bomb. Now, everybody forgets, we're talking about terrorism. They put a damn U-Haul truck from the Oklahoma federal building and blew that bitch up. And everybody wants to talk about terrorists, and then we can be talking about the plan for the terrorist safety, homegrown terrorists. Did I miss anything, Eric?
No, I think the point is well taken. I mean,
and it was
you know, you're talking about...
Yeah, it was Christian.
I mean, but what right does anyone, you know, when you look at, you know, the alleged history of the country and the mayhem that's taken place under the guise of the pursuit of capitalism, where you can see where these not terroristic threats. Anytime you bomb
exactly.
and bomb the churches, you know, it's been so much mayhem.
I'm not about that. Right.
Yeah, it's been so much mayhem, you know, garnered in this country, and so much blood spilled behind incredible levels of
Thank
ignorance, you.
You
know, and mayhem that, you know, individuals, the real problem that they really have, you know, ultimately speaking, is, you know, there's always been a problem with insecurity, inadequacy, deep rooted, you know, and when you have a person who manifests to the highest office, you know, in the land or what, if you pursue a position through the system, then obviously you can't get a more powerful position than the President of the United States from that perspective. And for some individual, you know, where they, you know, challenge everything from the legitimacy of his birth to, you know, what his belief system is in terms of religious standpoint, in terms of his family, this, that, and the other, and still to maintain that control and maintain that power is just really an incredible level of hatred manifested because they felt like every parameter was set in place for someone never to figure it out like this.
Mm-hmm.
So that symbol in itself is exceedingly spooky. So you have to tear it down to the point of these utter levels of ignorance. And yet it still doesn't work as well because it just shows your level of impudency. And that's why someone who's a rebel rouser has no platform, no policies at all. I mean, we haven't heard any policies from Trump. None. What's your policy on this? What's this or that?
Right.
But just the fact that he kowtowed to that middle America voter, you know, who can't understand, you know, that individuals and all the levels of modicums of stereotypes did not work. That you have the intelligence to guide this thing, you know, this thing called the United States of America, in very, you know, very sensitive times, you know, globally with military things, the times that at any time of things going nuked up. I mean, this is a very sensitive time. And being able to manage that, those complexities, You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, overwhelming. So all you can do is spew hate and get a hate spewer to show the world's ignorance and what we've seen, you know, with the Trump thing, you know, which won't last, but it's just all
right.
About the incredible level of hatred of inadequacy that's taking place and the crushing of stereotypes that won't go easy.
And when you weigh all of that with the fact that he's used out there as a Judas goat for whoever the big money is going to back. We've already seen Perry back out. We just saw Scott Walker back out. And I'm sure one of the Koch brothers, at least one, is pissed because they were going to ride that horse. And homeboy couldn't even get out the gate because he was so ass backwards with his delivery. Now, Travis, I've asked you before. First of all, can you hear me, Travis?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. First one, I made analogies before about Ben regarding being in New England and being where you are now in the middle of America, out at Oklahoma City. What do you think media is saying with regard to things regarding the president from back home where you were and where you are now? Is there any succinct difference, or are you hearing the same song?
I think the perspective of, you know, Barack was better at home because a lot of people like to they wanted to pamper him this and a third because they also knew that he came there for vacation with Martha Vineyard. You know what I'm saying? So you would get more of a you know, a home type of feel
pleasant
for him.
Response.
So every time he came, everybody would be happy and
just
trying to basically play it off, whether they like him or not. You know what I'm saying? They're going to smile because he's obviously in their face.
Uh-huh.
And with Oklahoma City, the only time in the past year that Barack showed up here was when he was trying to give the inner city public schools internet because their computers didn't have internet yet.
Right.
And that was the only time he came out here. But you don't really hear enough about him out here either. And, you know, that's a huge loss because at the end of the day, you see, like I said to you all before numerous times, I see more Confederate flags than I see American flags out here. You know what I'm saying? So he's not, you ain't going to see too much of everybody being happy for him and talking good about him when you actually see that there's people. I ran into some food the other day that had a Confederate flag, had a Confederate flag bandana on his head and the tattoo on his arm. I want to go up to him and slap him in his face. But I digress. And my thing is, you know what I'm saying, these people out here are still behind. Up north and in the East Coast, you know what I'm saying, people, everything's fast-paced and everything like that. Over here, everything's still slow-paced and people are still stuck back in time. You know, I feel like there's a dinosaur about to walk down the street the way these people act sometimes. But you know, the overwhelming support for Barack is very, very, very good up in Boston and compared to Oklahoma City, in my opinion. I just feel like, you know, he goes to the Mission Hill Church every time he goes to Boston. He visits the hospitals. He goes to Martha's Vineyard with his family for a week, and that's his only vacation time, and he spends it there. So they try to make sure that he's welcome, you know, open arms. So I think down here a lot of people beat up a lot of his ideas, and I've heard more about Trump than I've heard about Barack, you know, in the past couple of months.
I can believe
that. That just tells you the type of people are over here.
It's intriguing how he's gone from, look, I'm a Catholic to, well, you know, really, all this rhetoric smacks of, nigga, I don't believe a fucking word you say. You know, hey, you're a Catholic. Well, where's your birth certificate? Who are you? Who's your mammy? You know, all of these things that, from societal standpoint, the system is using to question the credibility of anything black and how it's produced or how it's gone about. And when I see this, we see that this thing, again, morphed into this. It maintained and then eventually had a life of its own because we've seen people on the east, on the west, from the left or the right, philosophically, all say the same shit. Nobody has had the balls, aside from us, to say straight up, why don't you stop this shit? You know, move on. You know what I mean? Let's get stuff about jobs or people and all this other thing, fixing roads, you know, really pertinent shit, taking care of veterans. You wasting our motherfucking time on this bullshit about whether or not you're a fucking American or whether you're a Catholic or Muslim or whatever the fuck it is. Now, of course, the Muslims, we should not care. We don't. But if he already told you he was a Christian, what is it? I don't believe you, nigga, which is essentially what's been said ever since this thing has escalated to this point. And nobody, and especially nobody in the black press, has came out and said anything about it.
Yeah. Don't bring up Obamacare down here because they'll lynch you for it. I'm trying to tell you. It's crazy. You know, but the response to that, a lot of people, you know, especially, you know, minorities, you know, we're trying to defend certain things, but at the same time, they're overshadowing a lot of the stuff that's happening. And now people are trying to make a big deal of the Pope coming here. But the Pope need to start recognizing what the hell his people are doing, because they're over here messing with these little kids and corrupting people.
They're not focusing
on the things that need to be brought to the light. You know, they're like, oh, he's in D.C. Yeah, that's good. But he need to be worrying about the Catholic religion in general and what he needs to do to try to make sure that they mend the broken hearts that have been sustained by all these pastors touching all these little boys. And time, a lot of these people are questioning faith now.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you mention that. I got Tony McLean on the line, and, you know, T-Mac, in addition to Eric and Travis, Cowboy Reggie's going to bounce back in. But in addition to all of this, we just had a situation in New York, in the New York Archdiocese, where some asshole priest or what have you had the nerve to talk about the despicable act that was done, sex upon a 7-year-old boy. Or sexual abuse, I should say, because, yes, it's definitely not sex. So, anyway, the long and short of this was, this motherfucker had the nerve to come out of his mouth and say, at 7 years old, that the boy who was raped was responsible for his actions. So he's trying to say, well, he shouldn't have excited him and made him get all hard under his little frock. I mean, what fucking dick dastardly shit can you expect from somebody like this?
And just the despicable nature of somebody like that. And see, this is something now in regards to sexual molestation. The Catholic Church has been the model.
Mm-hmm.
They have been the model for this. Think of all the, you know, any state in the union, whether you're in Eric's area in Cali, whether you're in OKC, whether you're here in Connecticut, or whether you're in Jersey or in Virginia where Reggie is, somewhere along the line, you've got not just, and see, again, it's not just the isolated incident. You've got a literal cornucopia of the frat priests and all these other folks. And the thing about it is, instead of trying to fix the problem, all they've done over the years is basically relocate these guys and it's like some wretched witness protection program.
Right.
Yep. And if it wasn't for these kids who came out when they were older or what have you, this stuff would still be under the, you know, dare I say it, in the closet.
So I can say with utmost sincerity and certainty that when they saw the face of Sandusky on national television and how he was trying to torture the people that he abused all over again, Eric, you know this is systemic. Because for a so-called priest, a so-called man of God, an official of the church, what have you, to say with a straight face that a 7-year-old boy is responsible for his actions and he shouldn't have been walking around with his ass all twitchy and stuff like that for the guy to get hard, fuck him. For somebody to say that that reeks of the kind of evil that everybody gets all worked up about when they see a movie like The Exorcist or something like that. Evil is very real and all that shit, but the motherfuckers that perpetrate it very often don't look like the Freddy Kruegers and Michael Myers that they try to depict on movies.
Yeah, forgive me, because, you know, my mind can't factor or comprehend, you know, what this person's, you know, stimuli is with children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just can't even fathom, equate, picture, formulate. I have a firewall, big-time firewall for that stuff from that perspective. But what I don't have a firewall for is, you know, the point that, you know, Tony laid out, you mentioned gender abuse, you know, we talked about that in the past and how that's been triggered and what's going on with that. But it's a situation in totality where we know, and it's, you know, that the Catholic, you know, the hypocrisies are so overwhelming because, you know, when you hear the Pope talk about, you know, the vile and vanity of wealth and not wealth and stuff like that, and no one's looking to the Catholic Church, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I mean, no, you know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? No one has more, I mean, literal wealth than the Catholic Church, you know, just even this side of the Queen of England. So that's really an incredible statement for someone, you know, who has the power over that much money making that particular statement, because they have dioceses in every corner of the world, and no political organization can claim that. And the other part of that, to the point about these abuses and things, you know, the psychology, there's just not enough individuals, you know, out there, by design, trained in the psychology of just how much you can bear, you know, the human mind. And when you start thinking about the like Tony said, the overwhelming crimes committed by priests who claim to be Catholics, you know, and what they've done, you know, and to celebrate the head of that organization in such matters as in the country, I mean, that is beyond vanity and insanity, you know, because it's just the point where there's so much, like, you know, literally lives destroyed under the guise and the eker and the vicar of the Vatican. And, you know, how they were relocated, how they have places where they send all these priests to dry out. We've got these problems and these issues. The fact that they have this incredible, I won't call it a trillion, but $12 billion insurance fund just to make these payouts.
Yeah.
They've already built into their infrastructure and their business practices. We don't have this insurance fund. I mean, so in other words, we're saying, you know, if a guy goes to the store and buys a bottle of hot sauce, he may not use it for a month, but at some point he plans on using the hot sauce, right? You know, maybe, you know, may be a while. You don't purchase anything unless eventually you plan on utilizing it. And the fact that they have that kind of insurance plan, you know what I mean, for these particular problems and what takes place, but the spell that's been placed upon people under the guise of following these tenets is just too psychologically overwhelming for people to really download the travesty that's taking place under these guises, so they'd rather celebrate it than face up to it. And that's really just a really shameful representation of, you know, some of the vices of humanity and just all the compromises that have been taking place under the guise of evil.
And the thing to me that really reeks of it, and see, it's the basic tenet of this, because at the end of the day, it's never been about sex. Race has never been about sex. It's about control. And see, Rick Sandusky was a priest. And to a lesser extent, you know, Jared and all these other freaks are around the country.
I was going to get to Jared's ass.
The thing is, it's a power thing more than anything else. Because, see, think of the simplicity of the statement that this archdiocese guy said. Now, the whole mindfuck is that how you going to say something bad against a priest or someone an authoritarian figure. I was watching, you know, there's very few TV shows I watch. I still watch Law and Order SVU. And the thing is, and one of their main story last night, I guess they had like the season premiere, about a doctor who was, was killing people, but was also cross-dressing. And, it was almost like way too much over the top. But the sad thing is, you know, we've seen this kind of stuff over the years. But see, again, an authoritarian figure, access to children and or other people, and the most vile thing is taking someone's vulnerability away. To me, that's the biggest crime more than anything.
Mm-hmm. That's a double-edged sword, and I want to go ahead of the reporter on this. Travis, let's say you broke this story, and you know it's going to be a powder keg, and you want to drop it on your editor's desk to see where it's going to roll. Now, Tony, you're the editor, and you know for a fact the editorial board that you have to answer to won't put it in the paper, and we're talking a New York paper now because the Pope is on his way, but if he's not there already.
Danger.
Okay, so you're not going to, the editorial board is going to put heat on your ass to make sure that the story does not run. So you have to consider your decision. And in addition to that, when it will run, if it runs at all, because you know for a fact that that's not running in any other paper, in any other major city, because on the whole, these stories die either on the editor's desk or they're never uncovered to begin with. So Travis, you first, from the reporter standpoint, you find this shit out, you're dropping it on Tony's desk. Are you really expecting that this is going to run based on your real-world knowledge, or just the fact that you did all your work properly, you asked the questions that needed to be asked, you got the who, what, when, where, and why of it all? What's your feelings as you see something like this pan out?
Yeah, it would be tough because, you know, for a piece like that, I would get too wrapped into it with my personal, you know, mm-hmm. street knowledge, you know, and my personal feelings about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be too personal because I actually went to Catholic school, you know, from
okay.
kindergarten all the way to eighth grade, mm-hmm. you know, so I just think it would be too personal because there's actually good people out there, you know what I'm saying, good preachers and
right.
pastors and all that or whatever,
right.
you know what I'm saying, but at the end of the day, you know, I just think it's a touchy feeling. I think it's a touchy situation because of, you know, what it is. And I
mm-hmm.
think it would die right on the desk, even though my editor, you know, would probably appreciate the art of work and the work ethic I put into it, the hard work
uh-huh.
and time and the research and everything like that. But I think it's too much to handle because he's in town too. So I just
mm-hmm.
I don't even think it would hit the paper, honestly.
I hear you. So, Tony, now that Travis has laid this on your desk, how hard are you going to fight with the editorial board if you know for a fact these motherfuckers don't want this shit run? It's too hot. But are they going to protect the interests of the Pope, or are they going to protect the fact that, well, we're really not a newspaper or a media source anymore, because all everybody wants to hear is how the Pope washed somebody's feet or had, you know,
uh-huh.
Supper with some homeless people and whatnot. You know, how hard are you going to fight to get them to roll with this?
I'm probably losing my job that night, I think, mm. because I would try to get it because, see, when would it be a better time to
mm-hmm.
run that story? The Pope doesn't, you know, it's not like the Pope comes to Philly, New York, and D.C., you know, every other month, you know? You have
yep.
to see, the thing to me, I think, I'd have to see, first of all, number one, I would go to God and say, look, verify your quotes,
get me one. See, you got to get me one person to speak on the record. You got to do that. I think you got without you can see. When you have too many unnamed sources, you're basically writing for the National Enquirer.
Yep.
You have
yeah.
to, especially with a story like that, because you know the impact that it's going to have, and you know
yeah.
you know the people that it's going to touch. Got to get me, if nothing else, you got to get me one person that's going to go on the level and say, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, you need somebody that's going
to
go all in.
You have to. You have to. There's almost no way you could put it out there, and especially if you're a prominent daily, or even if you're not a prominent daily. Because, see, the minute that thing goes out there, you basically become a target to a lesser extent. I go back to, I know, I don't know how many of you guys have ever seen All the President's Men.
Yep.
And I thought it was interesting how they depicted Ben Bradley, who of course was the editor of the Washington Post at the time
right.
during the whole Watergate thing. And remember he got pissed off at him. He said, you guys fuck up again, I'm gonna get back. but the thing was though, he knew that if you remember a couple of scenes. Did you verify what you ever get?
Yep.
The thing is, gotta get somebody to speak on the. Gotta get somebody to speak on the level. Cannot do this whole thing on secondhand stuff. Somebody's got to go and see. The scary thing about something like this, when you realize the impact and the scope of the Southern Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And
as well.
then when you also realize that, and this is just me saying this, when you realize the scope of this of these folks that are doing these acts, because see, I think we're talking government officials, talking police people, I think we're talking people in the media. To me. It's what Eric said it was back in the day, a consortium.
Yeah.
And in many ways, a consortium is worse than a corporation. Because with a corporation, they'll fire a couple guys, they'll fire a couple folks, like what they did with the Texas football team.
Exactly.
Go down. All of a sudden, they found an assistant. Oh, it was the assistant that said it, so he's out. But with a consortium, you've got, Think of an alligator to the 265th power, and that's what you're dealing with here. Because there's just the stretch and the realm of all of this, and see, most importantly, the scariest part, that damn code of silence. I mean, they make the mafia look like the fucking Three Stooges in this thing.
This is true. I wanted to give Eric the last word as he got bopped out. Eric, pop in when you get a chance again, please. I want to get the last word on this before we switch subjects to the NCAA and them stealing fantasy football money. if we went reporter, editor again from where we started at the beginning of the show. Okay. Travis, you have finally put out a piece that says, look, stop the nonsense. The president is a Christian. You do the research, go back to Reverend Wright and the incident there during the first campaign, the second campaign, how the birthers, all of this shit was made up, that silly bitch out there in California, wherever the fuck she was, that brought all this nonsense up. Now you're working for a black paper. I ain't going to even worry about these other assholes, but working for a black paper, and this paper is more concerned about ad revenue than they are about getting stories out and shit. So you're putting this to Tony. What's your likelihood of thinking that this story is going to die, especially when you've seen around you that no other black papers have tried to defend the president and say, stop the bullshit, he's a Christian?
Can you use Travis?
Tony's the editor. You first.
Oh, well, in my opinion, it's just the fact that with with Barack, you know, I just think that they're just going to keep giving them the runaround. So for me, if I'm going to drop that, I got to make sure that, one, I believe in my word. You know, and the thing is, research is what makes the situation a lot better, because they're going to keep dumping on Barack and his state, you know, until he's out the office. That's noticeable, you know. But the thing is, the thing that I would bring up is the fact of how he actually is with his family, because they go to church all the time. He brings his, you know, he's been the most personable president, in my opinion. So I would bring his family to this place and bounce that off of his face, because, you know, as we know, you know, Michelle and the kids, he said that they always go to church all the time. So I feel like even though Reverend Wright, you know, that situation came about, I feel like we would have to be able to still bounce off of what he does in his everyday. So I just think that I think that church in general is an iffy topic to talk about, because here we are saying that, you know, in God we trust, and everything is constitutionalized around that, and it's on the dollar bill and everything, but then we have gay marriage. So a lot of the stuff that, you know, goes on is just iffy when it comes to race and religion. So I wouldn't really touch it that much. If I had to, I would make sure that I'm defending Barack's honor on that. So I would definitely make sure that Tony understands that I'm putting my all into the situation, and I'm going to stand up for what I think Barack believes in and what I believe he believes in. And we're on the same level with Christianity, so I'm gonna ride for him no matter what. And that's besides the fact that he's African American. So I'm going to make sure that Tony understands how much I'm putting into it. And Tony being the editor and understanding my work ethic, and understanding that I'm going to put out a good quality product, I'm hoping that he would lean with me on this one and be like, hey, you know what, we got to do it.
All right. I got Eric Satterway back in the mix with Tony. Before I get to Eric, to have him close this out, before we get to the next subject, again, you're the editor. Your editorial board, again, will tell you in a heartbeat that their main focus is ad revenue, and that they don't really give a fuck about real news, because all they want to do is put something bright and shiny out there for people, and something that's got sizzle but no steak, no substance whatsoever. So you knowing this, you got to go and fight for this piece. How hard do you fight? And do you see yourself, again, putting your ass on the line for this, knowing that no other media outlet has said anything to indicate that, you know, enough, the guys are Catholic or Christian, whatever it is, shut the fuck up and let's move on.
Well, Travis has gotten fired twice in about 15 minutes. It's interesting, and I don't want to go too far off subject, but isn't it interesting with the whole Reverend Wright thing that people, and even the black media, has been very negligent in pointing out that this man served his country. He was a Marine. If there's anybody that deserves to have some sort of reform, it's a veteran. But see, again, they only want to use them when they want to. But again, I digress. No, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we have the birth certificate, we have all this other stuff, and let's be honest. If we don't play up stereotypes, they gotta be a Christian considering all the bullshit and lies that have been said about them, and he ain't even had a nigga moment.
Yeah. Come on. No. Well, Travis, I don't know if you can collect unemployment after being fired twice in 16 years. I do what I can to help you out.
Let's go independent route.
Yeah.
Well, look, Eric, put a wrap on this, please, if you would. The whole balance between entertainer, journalist, and not just the people who are doing these things, but the subject matter that gets tossed around in said matter.
Well, I mean, Roland Rogers, you know, the founder,
amen,
creator of Black Athlete, you know, created a forum to, you know, and again, I've had, you know, a number of, you know, conversations rolling right up to the point in past. He created a scenario for individuals who may have been castigated and ousted from other media networks, whatever it was, for those who wanted to start, an opportunity to express themselves. Now, in today's world of social media and blogs, blogs are read for more news content than actual newspapers. The newspapers are actually told. And, you know, in terms of expression and defining, most individuals are trying to find a wide audience, and they really don't have one. You know, I mean, they're articulating viewpoints, but it's a really small circle of readership, so it really has no impact on the whole. So now the way, you know, journalism is defined, it's totally been redefined by virtue of the fact that almost anyone can express themselves nowadays via online, wherever they may be. And they can have a viewpoint, and a ton of these individuals, you know, with large followerships that totally beat down numbers of, you know, newspapers and centric websites.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the way I see that per se is that I think that's a beautiful thing, because there's so much talent out there that a lot of talent would not have an opportunity to have expressed themselves.
True.
You know, what Roland was able to create was a situation where he got the media respect because he was able to connect with, you know, print media as well as the Black newspaper network, as well as the other scenarios, and he was also able to credential people. And that is a scenario where, with the rise of a lot of sports blogs that are really popular, that have the advertising, you have some in-depth writers. You know, I mean, places like Deadspin, they reveal way more than the mouth does.
Sure.
In terms of certain stories and your knowledge. You know, I've had a relationship with them. They printed my stories in the past. Whereas, you know, the numbers are there, but people are looking for that cutting edge. And they don't need no longer to follow an old guy's thought process. And that's what's happening so long when you see big sports networks having layoffs and letting people go, because they can't compete with the penmanship and the gamesmanship of those who have that. And a lot of times, those with the skills and talent, if they, the flip side of Tony, you know, Tony's editorial is, the flip side is that someone does have the skills and the sticky pages, someone of lesser renown will try to bury their stories.
Yeah.
So they do not like the fact, they can't mentally get their minds around the fact that this person is commanding the readership. They know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that as well. You have bad editors also suppressing your talent. And like what Travis' viewpoint is so good. I mean, he said it all right there. He says, hey, let's do our own thing, because, you know, he has a readership. He doesn't need anyone other than a website in the space. And by virtue of that, he'll get his own advertising that would supersede the level of newspapers. And I think he'd do that personally.
Yes, I agree. Gentlemen, let's switch topics now. And, well, if you hear wah-wah pedals in the background, y'all know them chords are resoundingly telling you all the truth that we all know. Anything goes when it comes to hoes. Pippin ain't easy. And one playing it and kicking back and leaning to this shit are the sons of bitches who run the NCAA, because they just dropped dime on some reality. And, Tony, we lived with this as we were talking about this, that student athletes are not allowed to play fantasy. Now, I want to hit y'all with something, because I was in domestic mode last night. I had to, well, this evening I had to wash some drawers and shit. I ain't going to get too personal. But as I left, as I left the drop-off laundry, Mom always said, make sure you have clean underwear. As I left to go from the laundromat to the store, in less than 10 minutes, and I'm surfing on two different stations, I heard advertisements for Blog Talk, I mean not for Blog Talk, for DraftKings or FanDuel in that 10-minute time frame. Now, I don't know how many times it was that you said last Sunday, Tony, but it seemed like every other commercial during football was for DraftKings or FanDuel. And since I didn't see anything Saturday, I couldn't say that for college football, but I can tell you it had to be as incessant during college football time as it was during yesterday or Sunday when the pros were playing.
And see, usually it's a sandwich. It's FanDuel with a car commercial,
mm-hmm.
a beer commercial, and then DraftKings.
Mm-hmm.
And now a brief interlude of football. in between Troy Aikman saying, well, you know, that's just not Tony's fault, you know.
Troy, I
swear, between the penalties on every fourth play and I was actually praying that they would play that old KFC commercial about the little cookie. Just
Still in that.
Think about all them and guilty as charged. Think about all those old head football folks that literally live for football Sundays, where they literally prop down at like, say 12:30. So whenever that last Sunday game ends, and Lord knows usually it's about 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
Now in between that almost 12-hour coma, you're getting ads, you're getting, you know, commercials and anything else. It's like a concert. It's like a concert of commercials with a brief interlude of football. Because the football you get, and see, if you're one of those guys that watches the Red Zone all day,
mm-hmm.
or either the Fantasy League channel,
yep. mm-hmm.
I mean, oh man, it's you know, I catch myself saying, and I will tell you, but what happened to my game? I had more fun this past Sunday watching old NFL film tapes than I did watching the stuff that they allegedly call the NFL now, because it's become such a we've always known it was a business, we've always known it, but they always still entertain us. And see, now they don't even try to entertain you. It's almost like, this is a comic book guy in me. The third Batman movie with the Riddler and Two-Face. Remember the premise of Jim Carrey with the basically putting the TV on your head for the mind control and everything like that?
Yeah.
Imagine that for 12 hours with FanDuel and Chevy. And Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yep.
And of course, in all of this, you have to maintain an erection for less than 3.5 hours.
Those
blue pills
that never stops working.
There's another visual for you. But Reggie, now that Tony has set the table for this, let's look at this from a college standpoint. All of us play for Sacramento State, and we all decide, because we know we ain't getting no money, but we're all into this fantasy football, not because we give a rat's ass whose player we like or who's going to win. We thinking about getting paid, because we know if Jimmy, who's on the other side of this in the chat room, if Jimmy is an agent and he buys any of us a fucking Popeye three-piece meal, we're going to lose our fucking eligibility for the year. when we're thinking, fuck this, we know the teams in our division. We know their tendencies. We know we can work this and do our own thing. So we all throw together $50 each, and that's $250. We start morning, we had to go there. $30 each. That's $150. We roll up into a FanDuel account where they'll double our money to start us off. And we make money off this shit. And we use an outside source, maybe Travis's mom, whoever it is, don't matter. She's the bank. So when we get paid, you know, and we see Travis's mom saying, I want $85,000 on FanDuel. You know, we smiling because I got the cash, but we know we get some cut off that shit. And then they find out that Sacramento State's players have been gambling. And the NCAA, annoyed that they didn't get their cut, puts all of us on suspension. So rather than even come to that conclusion, they're saying, well, we ain't going to have y'all play fantasy. Now, I didn't know for sure yet whether they were going to go so far as to say that this would be a violation of your agreement as a student athlete, and then they would take your scholarship away. But you know it's in the toolbox to be utilized. So, Travis, first of all, I know you're tired of eating them ramen noodles and shit. You know, as a matter of fact, it's Travis's fault because he put this shit up. So having said that, what is your vibe on this? Exactly, but what's your vibe on this with the NCAA having the nerve to tell somebody what they can do in their private time?
Well, me being a college student, if they, you know, if they said that to me and stuff like that, I would just go to Mama Singleton route. You know what I'm saying? Everybody put in the pot, and all of a sudden, she knows that Larry Fitzgerald's gonna catch 3 touchdowns. She's gonna know, Simon. I'm trying to tell you.
She had the color of the helmet. She had the color of the uniform.
She's going to know everything that's going on. She's going to just go off of popularity. She's going to be like, wow, Tom Brady, I heard of him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's just what it is.
Yeah. And, for the camera's bomb, man. Get paid this time for the camera's bomb.
Exactly. Yep. And everybody get breaking off a piece. You know what I'm saying? In a secret account. That's how it's going to roll.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying? Because you don't want people to see you start, you know, when you wearing nice things that you can't afford and all that stuff.
Ain't nobody gonna spend that shit. Could be definitely kept on the cuff. Ain't nobody outside rolling with no big deal or anything like that. You know, if you got a couple extra bucks in your pocket for a meal, that's one thing. But no, ain't nobody gonna do no diamond in the back nonsense. So it's agreed that we roll like this.
But Mike, I got a better one than that. Look at Virginia Tech. Their bastards was charging their players for money, and when they busted them, here comes the damn AD saying, oh, we didn't know, I knew what was going on. We're going to stop this right there.
Reggie, back up. What, charging them for what?
you hear the story about Virginia Tech? Get this
with it.
If they did not have a certain play that they performed, they got docked for that. If they kept go to the mouse. The story is right there. And the thing about it was, though, when they came to the AD of Virginia Tech, matter of fact, when Bob Paulson was interviewed before the Ohio State game, he came out and said how they did it, and they showed the charter how they were charging the players.
Wow.
And we talking that lunch money. We talking about those guys are trying to get the Facebook. You can Google it right now, Virginia Tech, and money, and here the AD got the audacity to say, hey, they know what's going on. We're going to stop this right now.
This is beyond sharecropping and indentured servitude. You know, Eric, we've seen little blurbs in the little sports scroll that such and such a player was dismissed for reasons unbecoming, or they wouldn't give you the fine indication of what it is the person did that they fucked up on that led to their dismissal. So is it fair to connect the dots and say that the NCAA only did this because they caught a couple people who were already into this?
It's so epidemic, you know, because obviously you deal with a middle person, or, you know, I mean, think about it for a second. You have family members And a family member, you know, is just quizzing, hey, you know, is update, okay, we'll use Ohio State, you know, who's starting? Is it going to be Barrett or Cardell, you know?
That's right. Play, that's right.
You should probably
ask. That's right.
Oh, yeah, well, Meyer, you know, Cardell's been getting most of the reps, Uncle Jet, and it looks like, you know, are you sure, you know, he's getting most of the reps? Will it be a quick hook like last week? Because, like, you know, Michigan, I mean, that last game, that was a no-brainer because Northern Illinois was not going to get blown out with that 42-point spread that they had given Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, no way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Northern Illinois, you know, they're not in that conference, right? They always have a pretty strong program. So,
exactly.
You know, and plus it's kind of regional in that area. It's not too far regionally statewide.
Yes, I do, folks. Exactly.
I mean, see, the thing is, if you have a roster in the collegiate game, you know, I don't know how many they suit up on game day, but a lot of times anyway, they got 100 players. And plus,
right,
NC2A has a thing with football where they can, two players can wear the same number. So
right,
if you have a gang of individuals, sidelines, be it red shirts, you know, or whomever, in uniform, and obviously it's a large sideline, these people have family members. You mean to tell me that with that group, with that many bodies, no family members, cousins, friends, neighbors to the neighbor of a neighbor.
Hey, you're going to tell them they can't play either? Who are you talking about?
Correct. Leister, right? Remember Arch Leister? I mean, he was the quarterback of Ohio State. That was just flat out rolling the dice on his squad. You know, the Pete Rose stories. I mean, the stories are incalculable. You know, we know, you know, college athletes on scholarship get free books. They get their free book. Then they sell it back to students for a price. You know what I'm saying? A discount. They don't even return. Hey, you need a history book? You know, $50, man. They're charging $300. I mean, that's how it works right now.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's all kinds of situations. I mean, think about this from the standpoint to your viewpoint, just how really you can't police it. We know for a fact that the communication between people behind the walls is incredible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, they're communicating behind the walls, you know what I'm saying, with no cell phones, you know, no papers, no pages, and then, you know, the San Quentin's, you know, hooking up with Lewisburg, you know, it just keeps going on. And they know what's going on inside the walls. Think about on the external level of what's transpiring. But the other caveat is this, why they're pushing these commercials. The technology of that DraftKings science.
Good
I mean, the way that they developed, you know, their system of payouts. You know, they said to one guy,
the difference between me and everybody else, I play. Hey, I got 31,000. Yeah, I play.
Right? You know, that jackass, right? Then, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a dude in gym class that hated jocks. Now this is his get-even moment.
I'll get you back on DraftKings.
And then, you know, I'm going to make money on you guys. And then you have this other guy, you know, at the bottom end, and he's a $349 winner, right? Well, yeah, you know, that's your majority winner. He's probably
that's
your max winner because the system of payouts on those things, if you do the analysis, it ain't that easy.
Exactly.
So there's a whole lot of cash that goes in the kitty, very cash that rolls out. Now, if you're shanking the system and you're becoming successful like, in an overwhelming manner consistently, either you're being payrolled and bankrolled by the guys who know, you know, the good fellas, right? They say, hey, man, this is
that's
kid
right
over here, you know, in Tucson, man. He can handicap like nobody's business, man.
Yep.
He got a gift, got that knack. Okay, get with him. We'll finance him. You know, he's the one that puts 10,000 in the pot, 20,000 in the pot, and they move the loop. But when it's time to get the payout, he's kicking down the heads above him. It's no difficult to see how to do it. I mean, tell you, so in other words, when you see how they push it, they just need more money in the kitty. And those commercials is that guy to go out and put the money up. It's just like when they had online, what's that, poker? And that became like one of the biggest global shams ever, how they were just ripping that thing off left,
that's
right,
right,
and center. You know, so the money that's going into this thing is real. Now, you're better off. I mean, I think guys here, everybody on this, you know, on the show, and that comes on this show, has enough sports knowledge that they really, you know, want to do something. You just need to, you know, I guess if you're the East Coast, you need to get the AC. You can find your sports book or whatever, and just go ahead and play it like say Mayweather does. You know, this is so $700,000 up on something. Because because you got a good idea who will win with the handicap may or may not be, the payout may be
right.
You're better off than that. That DraftKings thing is like the greatest hocus pocus, monopoly, practice, manifestus, rip-off artist, game interesting that they've ever found in the law. And I guess suckers are born every, I don't even know if it's a second anymore. Can we reduce the second?
It might be down to a nanosecond right now, bro.
Yeah, nanosecond. I love that. Nanoseconds. The that's going on with that thing is amazing. You know, and so, you know, it's really fascinating to see that, how you're pushing that model. But it's just a new world we're living in, man, where, you know, sports entertainment, they found another incredible caveat of money to get these nanosecond suckers to give up that loot and to have them be participatory, no longer from a fan base, but from the guys, guess what? I may get paid on this.
That's right. It's intriguing. Mm-hmm. We know for a fact, because they said it themselves. One outlet said that they would be paying out $95 billion over the course of an entire season. Think about that shit.
Could you repeat that money? Could you repeat that number, please?
I will do this with Dr. Evil addendum. They will put out over the course of the season $95 billion. And that's the clean money. That's not even the underground money. Because the other aspect that they're not talking about is the same thing that I have seen and others have talked about when you handicap, when you're betting the races, I mean the horse races now. You know, everything there is similar. You've got the stats on everybody. You got what they do, how they've played when the field is wet, how they play when the field is dry, how they play on turf. All these factors are all in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
It's like looking at a fucking racing form.
And Mike, here's the scary part. That's just the NFL.
That's right.
You know that they have the same amount. Now, you know that, now granted with college ball, and let's just stick to Division One AA, or the big boys.
Yep.
That's 120 schools as compared to 32 NFL teams. But
right.
because of public domain and because everybody and their mama has a website, by the way, on my three-piece, mild instead of spicy, by the way.
Okay.
The information, even more so now, I was just flipping through and I saw the FI story that we were on this earlier. Check this out. A study by the NCAA done back in 2012 found that 18.7% of student athletes participated in fantasy leagues with entry fee and prize money.
No.
It gets better. The percentage has increased each year since the study was first done in 2004. Now, 2012, it was up to 18.7. Now, you didn't have them beating it to death back then, because most of the fantasy league stuff, and I could be wrong, most of your fantasy league stuff was more ball than football.
That's
but
true.
Somewhere,
it started in
somewhere,
baseball first before anywhere else. That's right.
But somewhere along the line there, they said, we got to go after the big mother, and that's the NFL. And my thinking is, if they're going to go after the mother, they're going to go after her ugly little sister. So there's more of them.
Yes. This thing will be...
Tony's point real quick. Yeah, collegiate football is always way more prosperous because there's way more games.
Oh,
you know, but you can't, you know, I mean, every game, I mean, you know, I mean, to say.
Sure.
Yeah. You just say, like right here in Northern California, man, you know, you got Stanford Cal, you know, playing every weekend and in the Pac-12. You push out, you get the smaller schools, you know, instead of SDLS, get the San Diego State, the Fresno State. Every forget about the state of Texas. I mean, every state in America, all 50, have at least D3 and up
and I'm curious. I'm just curious. You talked about the Ohio State game this past week. If I'm wrong, 20, 30 years ago, wouldn't that game have been taken off the board?
Yes. It would have been. That was a 42-point spread. And see, that's where the thing that the HBCUs don't understand, they're the point spread maker because they will create these 60-point margins of spread, hoping that someone will bite, and that will engage them. You know, say you're loyalist from your school, oh, my school will show up. Let me get a little bit of that action. And so, you know, it's the enticing part of it in contentious, but college sports were always, you know, I mean, you think about what happened with Connie Hawkins, the guard with the clean shaven. Most of the problems that you hear with shaving is on collegiate sports because it's gambling. Individuals who watch these collegiate games, right? When you watch these collegiate games and you see, you know, with the fan depression when their team loses or whatever, that's the fan, the collegiate kid that lost money. That utter loss of life, look he has on his face when his school loses.
There you go.
Hey, I got to go with that phrase. He lost money.
There you go.
You know, and they put all that stuff together because they have a sophistication. And what's made it so much simpler, traceable to those who can trace it, you know, which won't be, you know, which again leads back to, you know, those who have the ability to scan everything, you know, your search engine, as well as the government officials, to see every move, is the technology where you can watch that betting line move. Now when you could be drafting kids, you're not really dealing with a sports fan as much as you're dealing with behavioral specialists. Odell's going to get this team, and they would do behavior modifications of Odell. You know, more than they'll find out what his likes are, what his routine game meal is, this, that, and the other one, hooked on this thing. Like, you like a Cajun meal, since he's from Louisiana, but it's nothing Cajun. He plays better than Cajun, doesn't he? Okay, well, he's going to stop. He's not going to have as good as Gabby. I mean, it's down to that level. And so they're bringing a ton. The difference between them and just the general person is data. And so those with the most data, and more importantly, those who can put up the most loot are the ones who are going to be most successful. Not the little nickel and dime guy. He's not making no money. But the data and the bounce and the money. Now, if you are successful, Michael, like using his premise earlier, you're going to attract attention. And the next thing you know, you're going to be like the Al Pacino movie with Matthew McConaughey where he brought a man to be his hand.
There you go. That's right.
They're going to bring
that's
you
right.
on that
Come
table.
On.
They're going to bring you in on that table. Like, dude, you're the man. You got this down pat.
Think about this.
Like, there's gifts. Real quick, Mike. Like, there's gifts in sports. There's gifts in handicappers.
Yes. Think about this, y'all. Two things from what Eric just said. Remember last year, Tony? And we're only bringing this up because this was last year because we really are boycott. We don't give a fuck about the NFL. The NFL doesn't really give a fuck about the fans. But last year, Pittsburgh played the New York Jets. The line started at something like 9 points, 9.5 or some shit like that.
Nine and a half on Monday.
And by game time, that shit was down to what? Exactly.
It was down to one. Some places, and see, this is another thing, because you got so many, you know, you're going to have folks that that basically, you know, worship at the altar of Vegas, but then you're also going to have other folks that kick their line from you know, I mean, there's so many of these national ones now, but basically, like you said, on Monday, I guess they come out on Sunday night, if I remember, but the first
one. Well, usually after the Sunday night game, or whatever, now it's after the Monday night game, depending on which line you're talking about. But from the gambling expert I spoke with, every time a line moves a point, so let's just say, Travis, your New England Patriots that played the Buffalo Bills last week. If we say that the line was 4 before the game, but by game time, the line went down to 3. That 1 point represents roughly $100 million. So let's go back to Pittsburgh and the Jets. 9 from when it started, 1 to when it dropped down. You're talking almost a $1 billion in swing from one end to the other, but the NFL will tell you with a straight face that they abhor and do not agree with gambling. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, my thing, I just hate how the NFL is, you know, evolving now. Like Tony said earlier, you know, all you see is FanDuel, Cards, DraftKings, NFL, back to FanDuel, you know what I'm saying? So they're definitely counting.
I won $21,000. Travis, you can too.
What I was going to say real quick, my thing is, yeah, they're promoting gambling, but at the same time, it's at the risk of their players that can get hurt and injured and mess up their whole career. You know,
fantasy,
and they're not
realizing
that too.
They're selling fantasy. They never say gambling. They say fantasy.
Thank you. No. Eric is perfectly right. That's exactly the point.
Exactly.
They are selling you really good because
fantasy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, if we just go to Ohio State, I'm sorry, let me just get this in real quick. If we just looked at Ohio State, because remember, what was the big story in the beginning? Well, what quarterback is that son of a bitch going to start? You know, you had your JT Barrett fans, the guy who was the quarterback before everybody got hurt. He moved to wide receiver. And now you got Cardale Jones. Now, regardless of who Ohio State is going to play, the line has a distinct swing if they know for sure that Jones will start or Barrett will start. Now, that bullshit they pulled off in Ohio State, you know Vegas lost money because they didn't have it set in stone. Ohio State was supposed to run over those boys, except for the underground guys who have the sharps on everybody. They knew. We've seen swings where Vegas has won and lost gugots of money by the first week of the NFL calendar and by this past week where we had the high-scoring Eagles, who ain't shit, lose to Dallas, who also ain't shit, and then the Monday night game where the high-scoring Colts, who also ain't shit, lost to a New York Jet team that's got a great defense. So anybody who bet the over, because the fantasy commercials never tell you about defense, remember? They always talk about who does what. Whenever a fantasy or whenever a player's so-called fantasy profile is put into the mix, they talk about, well, how can he score? How many various ways in which he can score? They never say shit about defense. And I can tell you those two games, Vegas got even for the whole season up to this point because all the suckers bet high because all these suckers are supposedly fantasy experts, and like Eric said, they get all caught up. So when they lose their money, they're going to break out like Cleon and Dead Presidents, like Jimmy said, in the chat room after they got paid and they fucked everything up because that's really what time it is, and that's where the NCAA comes in with this. They know they don't want this money getting away. They don't want the supposed integrity of the game getting away.
Yeah,
they want to keep that money to themselves. They can give a fuck
there's
about
no
these kids.
Amateur sports. There's no such thing as amateur sports. I mean, we all know that. I mean, it goes back to what we talked about earlier in terms of, you know, if you have an organization that has been rapacious for years all across the world, just destroying communities and villages and youths over and over again. Yet they're denounce wealth, but they ain't giving up none of that wealth, you know, in terms of
that's
the
right.
treasures they have.
Pimps don't pay hoes.
It's the idiocy of the whole thing. That's why I say I look at it from a standpoint like right, wrong, good, and evil. It all depends on what side you're standing on. You know what I'm saying? Because if you stand on this NCAA and someone's nickel and diamond, you're loot, you set the product up. Oh, yeah, they're evil to you. And if you're on that side and feel like they got enough loot, oh, the NCAA's evil to you. But really? Are they really? I mean, so what I'm saying is they do enough in terms of keeping us enough sustenance in terms of individuals wanting to find out who the national championship is, the bowl game, March Madness is their biggest money maker, all the ad money that rolls in. So there's enough service-oriented things that they do to kind of balance the venom. So it's all this two-sided offense that you're standing on, and when you really get to the level and layer of where it's really at, you realize it's one and the same. It's all depending on how you benefit. Now, again, it all depends on what you get pulled in on, because you order your own path of destruction. But these entities are set up this way. It goes back to the cause. And, we talked about in the past. Like, I remember Charles talking about, before he got into sports, started doing the sports writing, he had an external look at athletes, and he looked up and he met him. He's like, man, where's the substance at? And the situation is, and that's very common. So the thing is, when you look in these environments, and you're dealing with people who want to pursue a career in these sports, who have the talent, and they were young, we've known them. I've known them in practically almost in every endeavor, be it gymnastics, football, team sports, individual sports, that, had that look, wanted to move on with their careers, and they come to you for the guidance and say, how do you school? And you have to let them, listen, this is not Disneyland. It's not a fairy tale out here. But at the same time, it's how you manage it and what to do with it. But, you're going to come up a little salty sometimes. But that's the world you're moving in. Those are the endeavors. And you got to be about that life. If you're not about that life, forget about it. It's like the people, you want to glamorize slinging on the corner, right? Glamorize, slinging this, that, knowing the death and destruction it causes, right? That game is imprinted on. You got to be able to literally do people and kill them at a moment's notice, because that's how the game was built out.
That's right.
If you feel it's going to be a fast life, have money, you can go, make it rain at the club, but you don't have that in you, then you're going to get got, because that's how the template of that world is set up. So what we're talking about here in sports, there's no honor code in that. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. Cats are doing anything they can to achieve, and they print a model. It all depends on how deep do you want to find out the rabbit hole goes. Most people don't want to get deep into that rabbit hole. Because all of a sudden they start finding out, guess what? Both of missing fights were fixed. Does that change your attitude about Ali? And I'm just saying it. These are reality.
Exactly.
They have to ask God protocols to prove it. Some will take the fairy tale route, right? Unfortunately, and the one in the story that's been told, and say, he conquered the beast, he beat the big bear. He was the youngest ever. They were both pro towel games. That's really hard for a person to accept who's brought the myth, and that's what we're dealing with: the myth making over the reality. And like I said, the NFL gets it. That's what they call it. Fantasy league, because ultimately this stuff is fantasy.
Mike,
remember the movie The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance?
Yes.
Remember the ending with Jimmy Stewart, the man who allegedly shot Liberty Valance on the train, and the guy asked him, "So, what should I believe? Should I believe the myth, or should I believe the reality?"
Exactly.
Believe the myth. And see, that's the thing. You always sell the myth more than anything else. And, we've seen it, and Eric is right, we've seen it in all the sports. If I hear another yogiism for the next 3 hours, I'm going to train. But what's funny about that is that Yogi is as dumb as a fox, because he perpetuated that, and he literally made a career out of that. Now, you can make the argument that Josh Gibson didn't catch ever played the game.
Yeah.
Of course, you didn't play in the major league, so of course there's always going to be like, well.
Exactly.
But it's always funny to me how Yogi, and when you really look, again, I don't want to make this, Yogi show, but when you look at his career and you really look at his numbers, I don't understand why. I mean, I respect Johnny Bench. I respect Piazza. I respect guys like, guys of that ilk. And I hate the Yankees with a goddamn passion. but the thing is, you got to give it up to the man. But see, again, they're so caught up in perpetuating that myth about him being this guy that just these dumb pearls of wisdom every and see, we see it, whether it be football, whether it be basketball, whether it be hockey, hell, whether it be bocce. It's a mythological lie. The whole system, if you will, when we look at the political processes we talked about, you look at, you know, the historical processes we talked about, when individuals, you know, find out just all the lies they've been told, you know, all the myths, you know, so there are pure myths. And so the mythology thing has superseded the reality thing. Now reality is catching up to the myths.
There you go.
You want to know, you can know. But the guys are trying to push the fantasy to the last fantasy land left is for. Because ultimately, you know, if all of us sit here and say who's our Super Bowl winner, we're fantasizing who that will be. We're not proselytizing. A cat can get injured. Anything can happen between that time frame. So, I see it this way. And so that's what they sell, you know, through animation, through motion pictures, through music. It's a lot of this stuff is fantasia, you know, where you can't deal with the reality, so you shoot off to one of these theme parks. You know, you can't You can't deal with your reality, so you go in the bottle. You can't deal with your reality, so you drink drugs. You can't deal with your reality, you know what I'm saying? So you do all these kinds of things like that. And it's not grounded. So this is a whole concept where people choose which fantasy they want to get down on. And they try to show people that in the illusionary thing in that show called Fantasy Island. When Rourke
the plane.
That was just letting you know, hey, how do you want to get down today?
trial balloon for these greedy motherfuckers to get even more. How, you ask? Well, the Las Vegas, whatever their names are going to be. Now, Dan, it's not the first professional team that hasn't been Las Vegas. There was the Las Vegas Posse of the CFL. They didn't last long. That was in the we want as many American teams as possible to collect check phase, but they were there. And now, if the National Hockey League, Tony, gets away with putting a hockey team in Las Vegas, then it's only opening the door for every other league to do so, and the final frontier of so-called morality regarding the NFL or any other professional league mixing with gambling. I'm doing that in my greatest Nixon shaking the jowls response. That shit's gone. That's right. Gambling.
Remember, the jowls
can't wobble yet, but yes, you get the idea.
But back in the day, we were always told that, you know, Mars needs women. Well, now we have a website now, there is a website. I'm looking at it right now. www.vegaswantshockey. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at it right now. They're doing, NHL invites us to participate in Phase 3. Now, they and Quebec City, of course, the former city for the old Quebec Nordiques, who are now the Colorado Avalanche, they are in Phase 3 of the application for the NHL. Now, if I remember correctly, the NHL held their summer or winter meetings in Vegas. But see, literally, you can literally hear old crusty dusty William Shatner in the background saying Vegas, the final frontier. Because if they're able to get hockey to fall on board out there in Vegas, and again, we're not talking about a Vegas team winning the Stanley Cup. We're not about a Vegas team that'll be a perennial playoff one. We're not talking about them being contenders. Well, all they want them to do is to make sure they sell how many other seats that their arena will hold. Most of their hockey arenas do like 15,000,
18,000, 17,500, something like that.
At the very least,
right.
If the bottom line. If that Vegas team, the Vegas whatever they want to call them, the Vegas Mugbees for whatever reason they'll call, then the National Football League will follow, the Major League Baseball will follow, and sure as shit, the NBA will follow. And then the whole, then they'll be basically saying, you know, the hell with our integrity.
That's right.
Well, you know, I mean, that was on court for the NBA for a long time when the Malou gutted Malou family. Literally the gutted Malou family. Prince Pride, he was owning the Kings. And, you know, obviously they had the Palms Casino, which obviously they lost. And no longer had nothing to do with the Palms. But at one point when the Kings, they had active casino owners. Were actually NBA owners. I mean, to the point where they would put a big balloon, you know, coming up to a Kings game that said the Palms. They have a guy in the looking at the Palms. So the whole goal when they had the treacherous All-Star game in Las Vegas, you know, traffic jams galore, no one could move around. It was a mess. It wasn't built for that kind of influx. They found it out.
Right.
But what nuked everything for the NBA. The NBA is on permanent balls in Las Vegas and a lot of the other sports networks. That's why they have to do this thing intentional with the NHL, because the NHL, they've got these funny hockey scores. It's really difficult to get a good line, like scoring sports, do that score like hockey. That's why you had to really fix, you know, go up with the fact that the scoring is so low and so, so 0-0 games, you know, stuff like that. The same thing you see in hockey, ties. So the NBA shot that down. We all know what nuked that, Donnie.
Mm-hmm.
Right when they were thinking about doing that Donnie thing that came through. And that was it. This thing is over. They nuked the whole thing. So they had to take a whole pass on the whole proposition because of what took place with the referee portion. So that's why they're going to tiptoe, you know, with the Vegas thing. But it's just no way if you have a franchise there that the fixers are not going to get into you. It happened with Tarkanian. It happened with Tarkanian at UNLV when he had it up and rolling, his players. Some guys, Young Moses, Curry, Richard Anderson, some others were hanging out, you know what I'm saying, with a fixer, you know, in his hot tub. You know, and that just spooked the universe. You know, they always thought Tark was into that particular mix. And he always had that hard to fight. And UNLV sports is the closest to professional sports that they have there. But to try to push that in there, right now the way Vegas is set up logistically, the roadways and the spacing areas and where you build the stadiums, maybe the NFL game, the heat in itself would make it almost unbearable. You'd have to have a dome thing. And they also haven't done, they're going through a drought worse than California. So the thing, you know, that's another problem with that pumping out water and then that influx. So the logistics of the city and town and such where they're raking hand over coal on the gambling thing, the sports things are there and their sports books are really good, but it'd be really difficult. You know, NBA, you know, permanently turned their back after Donovan.
Good point, Eric. I want to bring Rhonda in for for a second to give an update on her views on what she's seen thus far with the Pope coming to back east and whatnot and going to New York and all of that, because Rhonda made an interesting statement about being conflicted and whatnot. Good evening, first of all, Rhonda. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good evening, again.
Hey, Rhonda.
Hey, everybody. It's weird. I mean, it's a weird feeling. I grew up Catholic. I went to Catholic school, Catholic preschool. I mean, I've been Catholic my whole life. And then there's a certain part of my life that I left. And when you leave the church, because the church has different views on how you live your life, it's kind of conflicting. You go off, you become something else. So I'm a practicing Buddhist now. And it's almost like a little kid comes back to you. You've already left their teachings. You don't want to be bothered with them, the whole nine yards.
Right.
You don't want none of that. But this one event that's going on right now with Pope coming to the United States, and I've lived long enough to go through three, and you know they live a long time. So I've already gone through three popes, maybe possibly four. But this one seems to be different than the other one, any other ones. You know,
all things considered.
This is the cool. He's like the Beatle Pope. He's like, he came to America and like rocked out. Like, seriously, he's been like a rock star from the day he got off the plane. He got off the plane and got into a Fiat 500, and you got Creflo over here asking for people to give money.
That was some Beatle Pope action for real. I like that. Homeboy got
it's just crazy. So the kid in me is excited because I'm the Catholic school girl that had to wear the uniforms and, you know, you get the Bible thing, you know. And, you know, at some point you had a disconnect. So there was some disappointment there for the church. But you get conflicted with this other belief that you just can be whoever you want and nobody's going to judge you over there. So my two beliefs, my ingrained Catholic belief, and I know that goes back to slavery for real, that is, you know, it's still there, even though I tried to erase it, you know, over the last, I think last time I went to church, I was like maybe 20. So that's been a long time. So it's just weird with this particular guy. I mean, he's saying everything that we want to hear. And even as, you know, the LGBT, this is, seems to be the most lax one of all of them. You know, he this is like really cool on all of his issues, real down to earth. I don't care what anybody else says, but everything that he says he wants to do, apparently in the Christian Bible, I don't know that because I take catechism, is exactly what he's saying and what needs to happen in the world. And they're talking about being political. That's not political. That's just life.
Yeah.
You know, and so in that, you have to just kind of switch. So I've seen it today, especially with John Boehner and Star Client. There is that feeling that you're around this certain deity that is so high that I understand why that man was crying even though I couldn't stand it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was like that one. Well, we have this one moment in history that we can all share if we choose to take it. I mean, everybody can go on their end of teams and they can get in their corners if they want to, but they can see this what it truly is. This man could have come here and literally like changed some minds of some ignorant ass people that have been in office for a long time. So,
well, that was the next question. Yeah, that's the next question. What do you think, after he leaves, how do you think it's going to affect doctrine? I don't think it's going to change anything. You're still going to have folks who will say, you know, fuck gay marriage and all the other things that go with it. But because of his impact, because of his persona, what do you think has a possibility to change long after he's gone back to Vatican City?
One thing I can tell you right now, the Catholics that have left the church are probably going to go back. That's number one. So the Catholic Church is getting a boost that it's never gotten before because we've been sitting over here in disbelief for a long time under the leadership of people just being pedophiles and all kinds of shit that we have to go through as Catholics.
Yeah.
All the judgment and carrying on that they do here in the United States. And I think that's why he decided to come here. It's like, look, y'all get my control over there. Let me come over here and just touch y'all. And watch y'all and do something. Like, talk to you. Sit down. Like, normal people. Because we're out of control. We're the only country that is this far out of control.
Calculated gamble on the Pope's part? Do you think from a holistic standpoint, he really does not give a fuck?
It's not that he... Okay, a Jesuit is a little bit different, like, than a normal, there's Orthodox, there's different degrees, right? He's actually living by a Jesus lifestyle. So there's a little bit different in that, you know, he is who he says he really is. But he's telling me that because that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not like a script or a manuscript. I mean, it's the Jesus doctrine. That's the way that, I can't say persona, but that's his belief. That's the religion of the Jesuit.
I got that. Thank you. Tony, I don't know if you wanted to straddle that line or whatnot to go back where you were, because we were discussing gambling, and I think this is just as much a gamble as we're discussing, but I digress. So please.
Well, you know, I'm like you. There's some little bit, I'm not Catholic or anything like that, but there is something a little different about this cat because it seems like he, for lack of a better word, it seems like he gets it. You know, he seems like he's not buying into his own hype, that he still looks at himself as a man of the people. And of course, that's a good thing, but again, when you realize, and again, I don't want to shake his hand and then slap him in the face, but when you realize that he is, you know, basically the front man for, you know, one of the most heinous, notorious organizations in the world, I can understand why Rhonda, you know, could be a little torn, especially if you've been... What's the phrase? And I don't know if I'm saying it right. If you're a former practicing Catholic, how do you practice? That's the thing I don't understand.
Okay, so Catholics go to church a lot. We do go to church a lot. We go to mass a lot. Like, when I was in school, we had, like, there was so much church going on. Like, you literally were at Bible study, and then you went to mass, like, 10 o'clock mass. And you ended up at 10 o'clock mass. There's a lot of mass going on in Catholic church. So when you're practicing Catholic, that means you're going to confess, you're doing the whole nine, you're in there. Catholic, going every Sunday, you know, and you're volunteering, you're qualifying or something like that. So that's practicing. When you're not a practicing Catholic, that means you haven't been to church, you go on, you know, Christmas, like a baptism, you might go, like, something that's ceremony. That's somebody that's not really practicing, but they are still Catholic. There's a lot of people that won't go into the Catholic Church just because, you know, in the Bible, they say, you know, they shouldn't really cross idols and all that. And there's a lot of statues. I remember taking somebody from Puerto Rico who was a Catholic to a Catholic church in San Jose. And she freaked out because we have, like, 10-foot statues of Jesus and, you know, hanging crosses. And, you know, it's real graphic.
There's
a lot of people that don't actually go, huh?
You know what you're saying speaks to the effort that they've put in to control, I mean, in mass. And I consider you a rather stable person, one who's very intelligent, but think about the effort that was put to get your mindset in that mainframe there, and Reggie's in the mix as well. I think this is the reason that I despise religion, because it ain't about seeking any kind of higher plane or
that's
or
why
spiritual
I Christian
aspirations on that. This shit is about control. This is like
No doubt.
Thank
and that's
you.
What I'm saying about that Catholic guilt.
And the women
Catholic guilt is exactly what I said on Facebook. Catholic guilt is having left the church and its teachings and still following every move the Pope makes while he's here in the U.S.
Good point.
That's Catholic guilt. You know, it'll last us forever. But the ritual of the Catholic Church is the thing that is the most disturbing. Because I can go into the Catholic Church and I haven't been in there in years. And I can start and finish exactly what the priest is going to say. Nobody has to tell me any different. And that's why it's hard for me to go into a black church. When I go in a black church, I forget it. I didn't grow up in a black church.
Mm-hmm.
Going to black churches, and people hooping and hollering at something I've never seen before.
And this is science. And it's really an exceedingly sophisticated science. Because everything you mentioned, and one typical topic that when money is mentioned on this radio show, but in other places as well, is about the money. Oh, you get to get the money. You're finding more ways to get money. Right. And so one consistent viewpoint is the science of taking people's money super exceeds the science of maintaining and making money.
Wow.
In a landslide
That's a heavy thing.
Uh-huh. Yep. Okay. People will talk, Marvin had a line where he says, makes me want to holler the way they do my life. When you start breaking down taxes, going sky high, that and the other, you get your check, this FICO, this FICO, this, and there's Nike, yeah. Plectro. I mean, there are all kinds of
everybody
things. Everybody gets out. Mm-hmm. If you're W2, if you're 1099, then you invest in a 401k, they're smoking. You'd be in the system for child support, they're swooping. And then you go to the store, they got the tax on that. They may want to pay you for parking. So you start looking at it. I know someone from overseas one time. He said, America, home of the sea. Land of the brave, land of the sea. And so what happens is the science, I can propose 10 scenarios to a person of the science of taking your money, and I guarantee you understand it won't be done here. And I guarantee you won't have 10 resolutions. You will not have 10 resolutions for how to maintain that particular thing. What's your resolution to this? Because there's a concept there of how that thing is, they call it trickle down. People have no clue to how that moves and how that works and how to attain. Okay, that's a job. I need more education. I need more training. Mm-hmm. I can make more money. Then you become to a higher tax bracket. And then you get a better house, and then now you pick up more debt. You want a better? You pick up more debt. The science of taking it in your pocket, super easy. The science of maintaining it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when you get to the place of contemplation of that, then you go to your pissed off point, makes me want to holler. You know what I'm saying? And then there's people in your own midst under the guise of relatives, under the guise of lovers, under the guise of family members, they're boosting from you too.
That's right.
You can't see it because that conventions the man thing if you're a male to do that and be there for a while. You know what I'm saying? And so even in that level, they're getting from you. See what I'm saying? So there's things, and then if you don't do it, it's selfish because it becomes an emotional decision, not a financial one, because you can't see the change. And that's the problem. And that's why this thing will go on cyclically waxed up. And the most important thing, one of the funniest things about that, too, you live in a country, that says they have a $1 trillion debt problem, and they spend like nobody's business.
Exactly.
No one can explain that debt principle. No one can explain how you're sitting in a community with a strong tax base, and you see all the housing, you see the people buying a strong tax
base.
I'm going to set it broke. And so there's a science of taking money that far supersedes the science of making it and maintaining the money. And these athletes will say they come with these shows and these prices where they call it broke. But they got to get a financial advice, and it's financial. Money is a magical thing, and most people are not playing in that lane at all. It's a very microscopic percentage of people understand that. And that's why, we can talk about it, but it will never change the game unless you understand the science of the opponent, which is built to boosting from you ad nauseam in your inner circle, in your community, at your religious organization, at your sporting event, employment.
Where does that put us up on that? When he makes a comment too big to fail. Again, he's part of the problem too.
He's a government head. He's a CEO of a business called the United States of America. He's the president of the corporation. Yeah. And so as the president of the corporation, he's not a prime minister. He's not a king. He's a president. He's elected. He's
the term. That's why none of the bank presidents go to prison.
And as a business person, you've got to bail out Wall Street. As a leader of a corporation, you have to bail out GM because they are too big to fail for your economic status of your business thought in the United States of America.
Isn't it like that old adage, the house is always going to win, no matter how many people come in? You may get a guy that may get for whatever, and, you know, you're going to get some folks, you know, that will come away with my guns, whatever. But the house
always
wins. Always,
you know what? I mean, that's not a laugh this week.
And that's valid because when you look at it, if you ask school teachers, right, you know, guidance counselors, retired, you honest people, now I'm talking about the honest ones, and they will say, and you go to them and you go, you know, hey, and guess what? Also a straight A student. And 90% of the teachers will tell you, that doesn't impress me. Because one thing you know about straight students, they've mastered cheating.
But what does that say about making money by the casino guy here?
Back to Tony's point about that. That's the Tony's viewpoint about how it always wins. Yeah, it does. So the one guy that does come in, you know, I mean, you know, say, for example, someone's got super brain power. What do they call them, Mike? They call them card counters.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No way he can beat the house unless he's counting cards. And so, in other words, there are the ones, it's one person who's got the skills and the ability to beat the house, but they know this is a whole other level.
He's not breaking the rules, but because he found the crinkle in the system, they have to excise him out and say, we have to disqualify. You can't come in here because you're fucking with the program.
That changed.
Don't use your cell phones in front of what they're dealing. I had my cell phone by mistake, and they said, put your cell phone down. I didn't know what was going on.
Because when they see you, they can tell. Like, just for example, if you carry yourself in a certain way, you know, brothers don't carry. I get Tony, and we can get Reggie. We can speak to that. Brothers don't carry themselves with a certain level of pride. Brothers used to do in certain areas. You know what I'm saying? When brothers had a walk, you know what I'm saying? Brothers had a style, you know what I'm saying? You know, you can't walk with your pants hanging off you know what. You know what I'm saying? So there's a way you carry yourself. You just know that's the guy, right? You know what I'm saying?
You just
know if you went to a sport and said, he is that guy. He's the one they've been hiding. Mm-hmm. I can tell by his gait. I can tell by how he moves. Same thing with the female. If you can just walk in, the first thing that eye in the sky is going to say, looks like the guy right here can figure us out.
Exactly.
Not this little bozo that we see about. You know what I mean? And they know.
Uh-huh.
So the thing is, when a house always wins, they know that there is that small percentile that got game and can go in the house and clown it. And the moment that happens, they ban them. You cannot come up in here. You can outbust the system. You know, get your little earnings and please don't come back.
Get the fuck out. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Now, if you take that into the spectrum of everyday society, there are individuals in the midst of skipping out this game. And it's so illogical by so many people have been taught. Because Rhonda was talking about in terms of just wanting to get ahead, because she was raised in a system so that there's a change still existing inside, even though it's not dominating. It's the same thing with that game. And that's why we talked about this in the past. One thing no one is taught in kindergarten through high school, and they should be taught as values in the system, is how money works.
Definitely.
It's true.
This is actually quite sobering. I was wondering why they brought that up. They don't have a fat tape up there. What, brothers got sufficient dice and they don't want to pull it up? Well, it's no, bro. See, think about it. Think about this. When I lived in Canada and I was working for CKW as their gridiron guru, you know, I pulled 65% against the spread. That's documented. And people were literally calling the station for the so-called information.
But the long and short of this is, there are very few people that can beat this. And as soon as they know who you are, you definitely are co-opted. There's no doubt about that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So you
mm-hmm.
think about this from a context of professional gambling now, and where we started
wow.
with this in the NCAA. The NCAA doesn't want that kid like Travis who's eating the ramen noodles, but has figured out all of the angles, has done his logarithms on odds and statistics and everything else. I mean, they leave
yeah.
you with the ground, with the information that you can do this, right? It's right in front of you. And those
yeah.
who have the minds to handle that, I mean, remember, those kids that broke the casinos with the card counting, they were from fucking MIT. It was mathematics to them. They understood it.
I guarantee MIT.
they were on it.
Well,
yeah.
it's the same thing. It's the same thing with the algorithm. I mean,
yeah.
it's the same thing with the algorithms using Fibonacci number series of Wall Street. And there's certain
mm-hmm.
coding. It's really it's a metaphysical thing. And see, the thing is, as long as they can keep you in 3D is like, you know, eat, smell, think, sleep, you know, all the feelings and touch.
That's right.
And once you move out to that particular realm, you can decode. It's like the argument, like, to Mike's point about the football, it's like the preseason review I did some
mm-hmm.
years ago for BASN, you know, where I get every team, all third, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And I predicted the Mavericks to win the finals. No one had the Mavericks that year.
That's documented.
You know what I'm saying? No one. You know? And they won it. And, you know, and the way it played out, the Lakers were going to get dethroned, you know, by Dallas, or Miami would make it, but they still got to prove it. It became a Dallas-Miami series, and Dallas won. I mean, I played this thing like a harpsichord. And that being said, it was like people look at that and they go, well, you're moving and you know things other folks don't know. I mean, you're feeling it and sensing it at a different level.
That's
and
right.
So what happens with that end is like, you know, individuals want to, you know, get that quagmire thing. You know, I just backed out. Hey, I don't need to do this no more. You know, read that. Like I did the Kevin Durant story. You know, I sent Tony prior to going to BASN, started right there. You know, where I said Durant, you know, became the guy he was before he, you know, where he led the league in scoring ad nauseum. I did a whole scouting report breakdown on Durant, and he almost lived it to the letter of how it was written when he was still a college freshman. And so you know what you're talking about. So the same thing works where there's codes, and it's how you decode it. Some people have a natural decoding, decodification rhythm, but the way this thing is cracked up is the fact that they know their computer is going to decode it. They already know that. But the whole point is teaching other people how to decode it. That's where it implodes. And that's where it becomes vital. Or it gets you in their inner circle so they can boost it, because they're always on the lookout for those who have those skills. Constantly, yes, you know, gleaning who, what, and where. When they find them, they will bite off you ad nauseum. You have these large corporations that will quote you hook, line, and sinker, because they know, despite all of their resources, you're outthinking and outwitting them, so they know you know. And it's a real holistic type of a thing. You know what I'm saying? It's not a 3D thing. You can't explain these things in terms of those particular facets. And see, that's the power back to what, you know, Ronald was talking about, the power of imagination that's been crippled. And that's why
mm-hmm.
I say, if a person, you know, I used to love that the one football commercial where right before the game they had all these different religious officials for the team prayer. You know, they had a guru and a priest. I mean, and when you coach, you know, you've got 12 people in there. You may have 12 different religions. You may have an atheist. You may have a Muslim. You may have a Sikh. You know what I'm saying? But they're all your guys. And I would tell all these guys, you know, in that culture, I says, okay, you know, so you follow this system, you know, the Celtic system. Well, who's the different Celtic gods? Do you know that you can pull power from any different sources by being on that particular level? And that's what they do. That's why it lasts. I mean, it's really a metaphysical kind of conceptual design. They take your science, which is metaphysical, and make you and put spooky on it. And then they give you all their other dumbed-down sciences that they rejected. And that's why they just keep ripping you off left, right, front, and center. And it's so bad, people die on them.
Mm-hmm. And this makes the psychology of the fans an even more tenuous premise. For this, before we close out tonight, I want to go to my motherfucking Philadelphia Eagles, who ain't shit. Yeah. I know it ain't shit.
They did a great job this week. I had no problem with them.
They did a great job being shitty.
Now, I got to bring this up. Tony and I was actually talking about this after the game Sunday. Now, this one guy is on a fan site on Facebook or wherever and whatnot, and he's bitching. And he's saying he's not a season ticket holder, but he gets to go to a couple games a year, and he always gets the Dallas game because, you know, Eagles and Dallas are like mortal enemies and shit. Now, this dumb fuck spends $450, I repeat, $450 for tickets.
That's cheap.
$100 for preferred parking so he can get the best spot and get the fuck out after the Eagles get their ass whipped. $20 for hot dog and beer. So now, yeah, and one night this motherfucker spent $600 for an inferior product. And I have said from long before even Soul Tree was incarnated that the NFL gets over like fat rats because their product is always in demand, no matter how bad or how good.
Mike, did he need a check? Did he get a shade or something?
Exactly.
Eric, he didn't even get a kiss. That's how bad it was.
So, what he did get was a blowjob. $1 billion blowjob.
The NFL spirit. Hey, Mike, you got the NFL spirit.
And this is courtesy of Jeffrey Lurie, owner of the Eagles, because that's what this is about. Just like this gambling thing has filed down to fans becoming disillusioned because, as Tony said, they were old school fans and now they just don't give a fuck anymore. The truth really revealed is that the NFL never gave a fuck about who won or who lost. They're about making that money.
That's right. Yeah.
No matter how good or how bad the franchise is in presenting their product, at the end of the day, when they had their shareholders meeting during Super Bowl week and the commissioner gives you his State of the Union address, they break it off equal checks.
Mm-hmm.
Eric just told you, $226 million last year, and that was the chump change. That was just TV money. That's not the side money. That's not from parking or anything else.
Yeah.
So weigh all this shit. The Eagles' goal has always been to not be a dynasty like Pittsburgh or New England or San Francisco back in the 80s. The Eagles are a salary cap dynasty because every motherfucking year, at the end of the year, the money that's left over, the money that they save because the stupid fucking fans bought their product, the Eagles are always in the top three. This has been consistent for over a decade. And still, the fans, they don't understand it. They'll rail about this and they'll rail about that. And they don't even realize that Chip Kelly, the other little ball of shit that they've hired, the only reason he picked up as much power as he did was because essentially he stepped to the owner, and this is my speculation, he stepped to the owner and said, look, my system works. I can do it like any manufacturer trying to cut corners. I can produce this product and do it for you cheaper and faster. And that's what he's tried to do. He got rid of all the players who had talent, who could assert his authority, who could question him, right down to Deshaun Jackson, even to such a point that he went on a campaign to slander him, which if I was Deshaun Jackson, between all the anger, I'd have sued that motherfucker. But the bottom line is that his business model is being copied by other teams in the National Football League. So the same thing happens with them as well. So Cincinnati can make the playoffs again, but Cincinnati doesn't care if it wins a playoff game or not. Not the front office. You know, Reggie's Dallas Cowboys, you know, even though Tony Romo is hurt, Jerry don't really give a fuck whether or not Tony comes back. If Jerry could sell tickets, Jerry would get on the center of his damn self and get his old ass out there.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, one of the caveats that it is really important for these owners that has a playoff working team. I mean, the Raiders know they're not going anywhere. You know, we're in rebuild mode. You know, you're going to get in the rebuild mode ad nauseum, as well as other teams. But what these owners, why owners want make the playoffs, though. I mean, if they make the playoffs and they can advance, especially if they can get a home game, they get a revenue. Because typically what happens in pro sports is the moment the regular season ends, payroll's over.
There you go.
Over. Everybody's been paid. And that's why they call it playoff money, right? You know, you see the NBA where it's going to be, what, say, I don't know, hypothetical, $50K a share for the winner, chicken feet to what the regular salary is. But that's where the players, you know, are playing, you know, say, using the NBA concept. Getting to the playoffs is an incredible revenue boost for ownership because they're guaranteed the 41 home days.
They play
82. They play, they're guaranteed NFL. Hey, so you can get home field advantage in the NFL, the two playoff games, the NFC Championship, and then the TV revenues that come with the championship, as well as the NBA, Major League Baseball, that's where you really back up because ticket prices are typically a lot higher than they are for regular season prices.
Oh, yeah.
As well as the merch. You sell way more merch than you would. And the way a lot of NBA teams get around is being indoor stadiums. Don't really can't do it in the NFL. The Colts in the outdoor stadiums, they put all those jerseys on chairs. So it's all a uniform look when you watch these playoff games where they're wearing team colors. What a great merch enticing event. I mean, they make so much money in merch. So you want to be a playoff team. In reality, you want to. Jacksonville Jaguars, they're getting the same money as Seattle and New England who made it to the final game. They're $226 million. Yeah. But they're not getting that playoff revenue. So crafting them that, when they don't make the playoffs, man, they're probably, I mean, they get so much money off those freaking playoff games. They want to just fire the whole coaching staff when they're not in, you know, similar to like what happened with Harbaugh. You know, because they're losing huge revenue dollars, especially when they build those new stadiums like Levi with a Super Bowl will be, you know, obviously, they, you know, they wanted them to get to the playoffs. But see, they want playoff money and playoff loot, you know, especially the elite owners, because they've already usurped that revenue. Then when they get in the Super Bowl, they already get an advanced sale for next year. The season tickets, which always is a lot faster because they got that Super Bowl product now. So now they can supersede that, and this is hand over fist. So, yeah, I mean, they really want to get into that second season. It's kind of like, you know, collegiate coaches who get fired who can't get into the March Madness tournament. You know, got to be there 1 year. He wasn't there. Sorry, Frank. We've been in the last 4 years. You didn't get us there. We sure missed the hell out of that revenue. We don't want that NIT money. Have a nice life. We need to continue to get you guys here.
I love it.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you look at it from that standpoint, you know, I hear what you're saying, and you're right. You know, the aesthetic, everything you're saying is definitely on point. But when you get to the breakdown, you know, these guys in these front offices, man, they start sweating bullets, man, when they're in the cusp of not making that friggin' playoff. Because they're going to lose that revenue. And what they even hate more than that is when they've got to be the road team. You know what I'm saying? Like, make the playoffs, but we didn't get home field advantage, man. We're not going to get that revenue because the money that they make, they're guaranteed sellouts. You know, they may be skipping a little bit, stripping a little bit. But yeah, they're going to get that. They're going to get guaranteed that sellout money and that TV money for the playoff revenue. Exorbitant at heck. So, yeah, these teams who can afford it definitely want to, you know, position themselves that way. But I think where Mike's point is really valid about not really giving, you know what, I think when you think, I think you can itemize that with specific teams and that really don't care because they're a hand over fist money machine. I think, you know, Cincinnati gets the playoffs, so it can kind of simplify that. But the Washington, I won't use that as I said for cheese money and the rest of us. They haven't been relevant to Williams?
Yes.
Yeah, on that 60-year.
And that's why. Yeah. No, that's why a marquee player matters because they're a joint card.
Absolutely.
They give them justification to spend their money, and that's why there'll be a handful of people that will get big checks in comparison. But as Tony always says, you know, the player gets X dollars, but the owners are getting X dollars. So it doesn't matter.
Add about three more X's to that, Mike.
I know. I got to get to my X education.
Hey, Hey, see, that's why Rob Perry's been active right now, making $3 million a year. He's going to sit down and watch the game.
It's interesting because, see, now I stayed up last night and watched the Pirates clinch playoff berth. I'm actually watching the Royals now trying to get in. But literally and figuratively, 3 seconds after the final out is recorded in Colorado, and the Pirates are in, the Pirates are in. You go to MLB.com, they have a Pirate playoff merchandise. Hat.
Sure.
Everything. It's like, my team as an example. There's a day during the year in September where they tell all the teams that they think they're going to make the playoffs. They said, okay, today is the day you can officially print playoff tickets.
There you go.
As generic as possible. They don't put World Series or NLCS or ALCS on them. They're just generic, God forbid, Cleveland Indians postseason ticket. And that's the thing. And the one interesting thing to me this year is going to be that other team on the other side of their border, and that's Toronto. The day after Joe Carter went deep on Mitch Williams in '93, that whole franchise basically became witness protection. They haven't missed anything.
Coming from a true Mets fan.
But did you check now the games this week with the Yankees? Sold out. People who haven't been to an Argos game in years that are going to the Blue Jays game.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, because in Canada, same thing with the Raptors. They have that incredible social pride. I mean, one of the things that always intrigues me is, when they have the big screen outside the stage.
Maybe
40K outside of the room. We've seen that with the Cavaliers. And we also seen that when the Warriors were on the road, they filled up Oracle. And usually the ones who go to those games are the fans who never go to the stadium because it's deep.
Special for myself and everybody else on the tree. Go safe, stay safe, be safe. Once you get from point A to point B, enjoy this potential spring sunshine, and we'll see you later.